Hello, hello. Good afternoon to those of you on the East Coast, and good morning to those of you on the West Coast. Who's on the West Coast? Anyone here? Not that I see. Amy, are you new to this group? Terrific. Welcome. And
Yes,
Lindsay,
hello. Thanks.
hi.
Hi, Amy. Hi.
For those of you who don't know me, my name's Lisa Lorraine Smith. I'm the Chief Program Officer here at the network, and I get the honor and pleasure of hosting these net groups and working with your chairs. And right now we have one of your chairs on the call, and that's Lindy. Hi, Lindy Alexander,
Y'all.
CFO at JCFS Louisville, JFCS, which one?
JFCS Louisville.
JFCS Louisville. So we're hoping this is going to be a good discussion. I'm going to bow out of it since I'm not even sure what standards are, but Lindy will take it away. And before we do that, if everyone can just right click and let us know what community you are calling in from. Amy is someone who's new. You'll introduce yourself. And Wendy, what agency are you with? You're going to have to unmute to tell us.
Yes, good morning. I'm with Gesher Human Services in the Detroit
Terrific.
area.
Yeah, in Detroit. Okay, great. So, Lindy. Want to take it away?
We had talked about talking about the new standard for leases, which has been rumored to be happening for, I don't know, 10, 15 years. It seems like they kept putting it off. And we have this one presentation from Kimberly, who is no longer with her organization, so she won't be here. And so this may be kind of informal, and we can also, so we want to talk about leasing standards, but then also maybe open it up to, this is our own personal therapy group of CFOs, so we can talk about whatever is, on our minds. And this may, the leasing part of it may not take very long this time. Also, before we end the call, we wanted to get an idea. We had one suggestion of talking about indirect rates, but wanted to get an idea of some topics for the next couple meetings so that we can, because in a perfect world, knowing Kimberly wasn't here, we maybe would have gotten somebody to present to us, because what we sent out was one auditor's group's presentation on the leasing standard. So I apologize for not being uber prepared for this. But we're informal. So first of all, has anybody already started presenting, working with this standard and their financials for leases?
I have not, no. But I have to get it prepared for the end of the fiscal year, which is June. So
That's now.
Stephen, have you done anything with it yet?
I have not.
We just had to do it for our 2022 financials. But ours is so tiny. We have two Xerox machines, and the auditors did the entry for us. So I'm not much help.
I don't know. I mean, probably we only have a couple different copiers too that'll be part of this that isn't really much, and they're older, and it's not really much either. I would think that larger organizations among us would have maybe more leases, maybe leased office space, maybe housing kind of considerations. Amy, you're nodding your head. Yes.
Yeah, I know that it's already been incorporated in the financial statements here. The only thing that I'm aware of that we lease is the copier and we lease the building. But as Tammy said, I know that the previous CFO had either the auditors or the chair of the finance committee prepare the entries. And so I haven't like gone back and dissected what they've recorded, but
Okay.
it has been recorded.
We've got a pretty big lease group. Our auditors recommended a firm to work with us to set it up. So we've got the agreement done, but we just haven't actually done the setup yet because we've got
Okay.
well over 20 leases, and then we've also got HUD properties that, where we're the lessor, but over 100 of those. So not yet.
Paulo, the question is, have you already started working with the new leasing standards on your financial statements? So, Paul, when you talked about your So what are your other than the HUD properties, what are your other kinds of leases?
Primarily like satellite offices, because we're in the Tampa Bay region. Our headquarters is in the Tampa Bay region of Florida, but we have offices that are in other places around the Tampa Bay area, but also in South Florida and Orlando and all over. So we have office leases. We have the copier leases, but then we also have, like vehicle leases. We also have, I think we do have some software leases that are over a year. 12 months or more. And then of course, like I said, the HUD properties were the leasor. That's not as in depth, but at our auditors, after discussing with our auditors, it became extremely clear that this was not something that we wanted to do in-house.
Got it.
Because of the number of things to deal with. So
interesting.
Get that ball rolling, and it needs to roll like right now.
I know.
Paul, how many satellite offices do you have, Gulf Coast?
Oh, right off the top of my head, I'm going to say over 12.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Some of them are small, just a little office space, but you got to have somewhere for clients to come and all that. So
it sounds like a lot of people's auditors or outside consultants are doing kind of this work for us this first time out of the gate, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I was hopeful that I was going to be able to work it into my entries without the auditors having to do it, just, to discuss it with them. We have about 4 other offices leased that I need to get on the books this year.
Paolo, were you going to say something? Paolo? Paolo, how do you say your name?
We lease buildings, and we lease our printers in the different. We have 4 satellite or 3 satellite offices, and we do everything internally. No issues with the books and our audits year after year. I don't know if there's any different this fiscal year versus previous fiscal years, but we have not had any issues.
So have you started implementing this new standard, Paolo, where you have to count your leases as both assets and liabilities on the balance sheet and do some interest calculations and all the things that are involved with them more than we used to?
No issue at all. We're managing it internally.
Okay.
Do you know about this new standard leasing? Paolo? Is it Paolo or Paolo?
Paolo, like Marco?
Marco, Paolo. So Paolo, do you know what we're talking about? These new
standards on how to account for those leases, right?
Okay.
Well, it sounds like, I know that the presentation that Kimberly sent was brief, and I went out and looked online. There's a lot of, for every audit group that exists in the world, there's some presentation on this.
Yes.
So there's a lot of background information. So I guess, it's a discussion to have with our auditors while we're planning. Is most everybody on a June 30th? Yes.
12/31 for us.
Tammy, you're on a 12/31.
Yeah.
So you did it.
That's why we've already done it. Yeah.
So
ROU, that was new to me.
So if anybody has questions, we can contact you, right?
No. I'm happy to show you my financial statements so you can see what they disclosed. But again, it's tiny, so it didn't even make a footnote.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I would like to see the financial statements to see how it is listed on the statements, if you would share that with the group.
Yeah, if it is, that's the thing. I'm not positive it is on there at the moment, but I will, if it is, I absolutely will share that with you, Barbara.
Excellent.
It while we're talking.
Great. I know this part of this is brief. So are there other questions or things we can provide to our group other than all of us looking online and seeing what's involved? I mean, I know we have to do it this time. So depending on whatever level of leases we have, it's not a choice anymore. Are there other things related to this? And if not, what do we want to talk about? what are burning issues that you're going through? Some of us are new. Amy, I know you're relatively new. We sat together at lunch at Dallas with Stephen and had a good discussion. So are there some other things that we can help each other with? Not putting you on the spot necessarily.
Yeah, so so maybe a topic now or for another day that I'd like to talk about is, so I came from higher ed, and so this is a new world for me, and I was in higher ed probably a total of almost 20 years. And we had a A133 uniform guidance audit, but the section that was audited heavily was financial aid, not necessarily grants that were the area that I'm working in. And so we, for the grant cluster, like they call them clusters, for the grant areas, we did not get to the $750,000 threshold to have that more intense audit. So I wanted to talk with others about, do you do effort reporting for your grants? They used to call it time and effort reporting, and now they call it effort reporting. And if so, what does that look like? I years ago tried to dig into it to see, you know, like what's involved and how do you do that? And then the other thing is, does anybody have the uniform guidance procurement rules in place where they have like different tiers and you have to follow certain purchasing guidelines for federal expenditures? So does any of those things ring a bell to anybody? And
definitely in an old life also was education, but we don't have any federal funding here. But I know there are JFSs with federal funding, maybe lots of them.
We have federal funding in Louisville, but we do not meet that threshold.
Yeah, You mean the single audit threshold?
Yes.
Yeah, we do that one every year. we have a refugee program through the Office of Refugee Resettlement Federal. And yeah, I mean, that one breaks the threshold by March. You know, well, that's on a calendar year, so by September. So yeah, we have to do it every year.
So how do you do the time and effort reporting, Paul?
You mean for just generally, hey, where did you work? We do it in our time cards. You know, when they're filling out their timesheets, there's a spot for, you know, what program or what cost center were you working in? And we're just very diligent about making sure that that anyone who is not, you know, who works outside of their home department has to, you know, be very detailed and record any time worked in another department.
Do they do that through your payroll system?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We use ADP and we use it. We do it through the timekeeping system.
Would you be? Question? Yeah. So we, right now we're using a cost allocation process, and individuals are allocated for the month to different grants, but I don't know if that will suffice when we do get to that 750 level, because we just started a refugee resettlement program and I can see those grants ticking up. And I feel like next year we might be into that level. So I kind of want to start doing my research now. Would you be willing to share a couple time cards, maybe white out the names, or so I just see like a visual, so that way when the auditors come here, I can say, hey, you know, this is the process we have now. And, you know, does this suffice? I don't even know if I've never had them do effort reporting anywhere, but I do know it is a thing, because on grants, the grants we had through like NASA and, mm-hmm. you know, Health and Human Services, it specifically says, do you do effort reporting? And it's like,
So on those grants, do you all bill them by month? Like go out into the payment management system and mm-hmm. and yeah. seek reimbursement?
Yes.
We have a couple of different grants system. That we do that for as well. Some of the new ARPA money that we were authorized, it requires time cards. What we do is we prepare a time card. We have a spreadsheet that shows their time cards, everything that they punched in and out during the day, and then how much of that time they spent on that on each program. So if someone is salaried, but they have an 8-hour day, they'll show there were 3 hours that were spent on this program, 3 hours spent on this program, 2 hours spent on this program. Mm-hmm. And we charge that out. I have an example that I can send you of the time card. And then we back that up. The approval for it is through, we use Paycom for our payroll. And each employee has to sign off on their time card, and each employee has to sign, and then supervisor has to approve the time card each pay period. So we use the time card from the payroll system as the authorization, and then we use the time card from the employee as the distribution as to which programs they worked on which days. And then we charge those dollars. We calculate their total payroll. ARPA has us just calculate the total number of hours times their hourly rate, and then we're allowed to charge for their fringe, for their health insurance, medical insurance, and the taxes. So we have a spreadsheet that we reconcile all of that. We do, because we did a lot of CARES Act funding for financial assistance for rent and for utilities. So that's what originally had put us over that 750. So we've had the single audit now for I've been here 3 years, and all 3 years I've had to have the single audit because we had over 750,000 on the federal money coming through.
So, what about your question, Amy, about the procurement policies?
I was looking for that. There's a guideline. It's 202. It's a federal guideline. I was looking for it because I've copied it when I had an audit of one of the programs, and they sent me to this. There's a website, and I was looking for it while I was talking. That has the regulation on there. I think it's chapter 202. I mean, 202 is stuck in my head. I'll find it. And I can send that to you as well, Amy. It's the full report of anyone who has any type of government funding, what you can spend money on, how you're supposed to procure three bids, and what the different thresholds are for what the requirements are. And I'll forward that to you as well.
Stephen, can you forward that? Because I think that might be interesting for the group. Lisa, if Stephen forwards that, can we share it with the group? Because I think Absolutely. Even people that aren't on here probably have a lot of federal funding.
I mean, and then, of course, Great. I found it because I got burned.
Yeah.
That's the best way to learn.
I was yeah. answering the audit questions when I was sent to regulation XXXXX. So that's why I'm looking for it now. But I copied the whole regulation down. And then I know that section chapter 202 or something is specific for government contract procurement and reimbursement.
When you get audited, who does the audit, Stephen? Is it a external firm or government?
The government does. This audit was for our VOCA program, our Victims of Crime Act program.
We just applied for a VOCA grant.
It was being done by VOCA, and it was some expenses that we had charged that I think what it was somebody had gone to the store and bought some food, and they didn't have our tax receipt, so they paid tax. Well, we had filed, the reimbursement for the full amount of the food bill. Well, as it turns out, it had $1.27 in tax in it, and we're not supposed to pay tax as a nonprofit, and it's not refundable through a government grant. So needless to say, I had to explain item 1.7 for $1.20 something of tax.
Wow.
So, I mean, but the regulation is very specific on that. I should not have, so then what we started doing is we started entering all of our invoices. Anytime there was tax charged, we charged the tax to something that is not chargeable to the grant.
Got it. That's what we did.
I mean, if you pay it, you pay it, because I mean, every store isn't going to have our tax exempt paper, and the people who go shopping aren't always going to have the form with them. So, but when you do pay, you just want to make sure that you are not coding it to the grant expense.
So you weren't hauled off to jail for $1.27, huh?
You know, they slapped my hand and they let me put some other expense for $1.27 in.
Oh, okay, good.
But I did have to explain it to them in a letter. And I mean, it was just, it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
But I mean, understandably, I mean, I did something they didn't like.
Well, thank you for sharing that. I think that would be helpful.
I will. Like I said, I'm looking for it now. I'll find it.
Do you have a purchasing policy that has that typed up? Like my thought is, I thought we have to have it like published on your website or that you can share. And
we had a purchasing policy, but it didn't have that specifically in it, but now it does because they also, as part of my, you know, punishment, they wanted to see that I've added that to my new purchasing policy, that we follow all of that regulation. So yes.
Good. That'd be great. Thank you.
What other questions do people have that are coming up right now as we head into, do you think we should, I mean, while we're in the federal space, do you think we should devote time to federal indirect rate? Who has federal indirect rates? Or I know we always do the de minimis administrative 10%, but you do, Paul? Yeah.
Yes, we do. I don't remember exactly right off the top of my head. I can't remember what our rate is right now. I want to say like 12 something. But yeah, we do. And we typically will apply to renew it every year.
Is that something that would be of interest to enough of us, do you think? To do, Amy, do you have a federal indirect rate?
So we don't have one here. We did have one at my old institution, but I'm just kind of curious. You know, you only know what you know, and until you turn it into a research project, you really don't know anymore. So I guess I'd be interested in maybe a quick discussion. You know, is it always just on salaries and wages? Is it ever on total direct costs? You know, what are the different options?
There's a couple different methods. And and so you have to pick, I think, which method you're going to use. And it's been a while since I've done it. You have to have a cognizant agency. So someone you're applying to, like Health and Human Services, or who review your work. And
I just posted that. That's the paragraph I had to add to our policies and procedures for accounts payable, and that's 2 CFR subsection 200.403. That's section 200. It covers all of the reimbursements. So you can just, if you Google that or put that in, it will take you to that regulation.
Okay.
For all government grants.
Thank you very much.
What other things are popping up? This ends up being sort of a potpourri, but does anybody else have things going on right now as we're in the middle of the year or preparing for audits? Or I know I'm going to put a plug in for that spreadsheet that you saw in the link, which was just sort of us sharing what software applications from a previous session we had. So what GL, what AP, AR, other software, because we'll once more have done that, we'll share it. And then if you have questions, you know, on your particular application, I mean, there's already a few people with QuickBooks, there's people with Abila, there's MIP, nobody yet with mine. I'm hoping somebody else shows up, but that would be great for us to be able to share kind of what applications we have. And Lisa sent it in the link. There's a Google sheet that's in the link with the last email we sent out.
Okay, I can put it in the link in the chat too. So
okay, that'd be great.
So I have one other topic. I don't want to hog the whole meeting here.
No, yeah.
And so I'm also kind of, we're an extremely small agency. So I'm, you know, I'm a lot of things that I've seen in the past, it's like, I don't see here. And it's kind of like, do I open up a can of worms here? So does anybody do 1042 S reporting for paying people who are non-US citizens. Like we have translators and we have, and I can almost guess we've got somebody that we're paying that's not a US citizen. Does anybody ever do that or?
So you are hiring the translators yourself as opposed to getting them from a refugee, from an agency in Columbus?
Sometimes, yes. And I'm sure there's other examples, but I'm just kind of like, you know.
Has anybody else done 1042 S's?
We don't have any non-US citizens
that you pay. Sure
we almost had one, but it didn't work out.
Okay.
I mean, is that something your auditors can help you with or your payroll group or?
It's like a 1099, but you're paying someone who's not a US citizen. So instead of getting a W-9, you get something called a W-8, and then you have to do a backup withholding and da 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 da. So I kind of don't want to open up a can of worms because I'm sure that we've paid people through AP that are not US citizens. And I kind of don't want to say that because then they're going to dig a little deeper and be like, hey. So I just wondered, you know, has anybody else experienced this? Do you ask for a W-9 for every one of your AP vendors? And then if someone says, I don't have a, that's when you would catch it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We ask for a W-9 for everybody. Whether they're going to get a 1099 or not, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
We do the same.
Okay.
So Amy, your agency is not that small. I mean, you're, what is the size of your budget?
$4 million.
That's bigger than some of us.
Mm-hmm. We only have like, I think 52 employees. Mm. Most of them are on the program side.
Right.
Is there something about your programs that you have non-US citizens that you work with?
So we have an RSS, which is an employment, county employment grants, where we help refugees or non-US citizens who have come here find jobs. And then we now have the refugee resettlement. But I know we deal with a lot of people from other countries.
Mm-hmm. No.
I mean, it's something we could put out to the, because not everybody's on this call, we could put out to the group as sort of a question. And certainly among all of us, there might, don't you think, Lisa, there might be somebody that's dealt with that.
Yeah.
That we could put you in touch with. Because we're pretty up. Diverse in terms of all the things we do, I think.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with how to do it and what to do. It's just kind of like opening up a can of worms. And I just wondered if, you know, if anybody else is doing it. But I guess if you're asking for W-9s from everyone, you would have caught whether you had someone that wasn't a US citizen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You might talk to an attorney to say, if you just start from today doing it right and don't worry about what happened in the past, you know, but an attorney might be able to give you some comfort in what that means.
Yeah.
Or if you have an attorney on your board, you know, someone on your board who could advise you.
Okay. Just, I mean, maybe we haven't paid anybody, but I'm surprised, like, you know, it's like, hey, who does the 1042s?
The what?
The what? Yeah. I think it would help if you ask for W-9s from everybody, then, you know, you would, we don't pay anybody until we have it.
Yeah, that's our policy too.
Because a lot of program people will be like, do you really need it? Can't you cut this check? And uh-uh.
Okay.
Exactly.
What else?
Well, Kristen is just joining us. Hi.
Hi, Kristen. We talked about leasing for 3 minutes. And now we're for maybe five. And now we're just sort of kind of doing whatever questions everybody has to help each other.
I have a question for you guys. And, you know, who here applied for PPP money during the pandemic for loans?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so I assume that all of you got your loan forgiven, right?
Yes.
But now I'm getting maybe a couple of emails every week from people telling me that there's an additional way to get funds, the ERC.
ERC credit.
And I have analyzed this. According to what I see, it's really complicated. It requires a lot of work from our side for them. Normally, they ask for a big cut of it anyway. So for me, it sounds a little bit like ambulance chasers.
They are. There are a lot of them. I will say there are a lot of them out there. I got requests all the time from them. What I did was I found an accounting firm, local accounting firm here. It's Sutton Frost Carey. And they charged us a one-time fee. It was like $3,500. Most of the information that they asked for, we already had from the PPP application.
Okay.
And the request to have the PPP forgiven. They wanted 941s. I can send you the gentleman's name. Like I said, they're experts at it. We've received we had applied for three quarters to have the credit applied. It was for the second, third, and fourth quarter of 2020. We've received payment already for the third and fourth quarter, because those were under 200,000. The second quarter was over 200,000. So it goes to a different department within the IRS, because they scrutinize it, I guess, a little more, review it a little more. I called them the other day and they said that it's in process. And, you know, it's a 4-month process from the time you file. But if you're filing the smaller ones, they went through the 4-month process, but 3 months in, they realized that I had one of my quarters was large. So that's when they sent it to the other department, and it's a 4-month process from there. So they said it may be July or August before I get it. I applied in November, but
What I did is I applied, I checked in terms of revenue reduction, and I didn't have any quarter that qualified. But now they came with a list of not numbers, but a list of conditions.
I had that same issue. So what I did was I sent this Sutton Frost Carey, I sent it to them, and they didn't charge us anything to analyze it. The only time I got a bill from them is once they filed for the credit.
Yeah, because they come now is that
information, and if you'll send him what he asked for, they'll analyze it for you and determine whether you qualify or not.
Okay, thank you. So I that's my email address. If you can send that information to me, because this we analyzed in terms of revenue through a big firm, and we didn't qualify. But now they are coming with a list of revenue, but a list of conditions. Let me share one condition, for instance. We had three congregate meal sites. So during the pandemic, of course, we couldn't have congregate meals. So we had to stop that. Another condition is that we sent everyone to work from home. So that was a disruption of the way we conduct business. So those two conditions, according to one of these individuals or these firms, were enough, independent from the revenue reduction,
right,
to apply for the ERC
credit, right? $6,000 per employee. I would not use any firm that wants to do it for a cut, okay? Because that's a number one red flag, is when they want a percentage of your payment, because then all they're out there to do is they've got a vested interest at that point.
Right.
The other thing is that if something goes wrong in the future, it's our reputation, not theirs.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's why, like I said, I used a local accounting firm here. But they're relative, they're regional, they're relatively large. And like I said, I will send his information across to you. Lindy and Amy, did you have a chance to contact Drew at all?
Not yet.
Okay. Not yet. Yes, I like I said, I contacted him. I let him know, you know, because he was on, I included him on the email I had sent you. So, but if you'll send the information that he'll need, like I said, it's mainly he needs 941s for the quarters that you want to file for. And then there was just a couple of documents that he asked for. He's got a list and he'll send it to you what to put together and work it from there. And then he'll first thing he'll do is evaluate to see if you qualify. And then if you don't qualify, there's no fee. It doesn't cost him anything. It doesn't cost you anything. Other than, you know, he put in some time.
Yeah.
Does anybody else
everybody wants like a 15-20% cut. And I was concerned about the reputation being on the line.
Our reimbursement was, our total reimbursement was a little over $500,000. Oh, and the nice. Charge was $3,500.
Good. So, yeah, please shoot me that information. Yeah.
Has anybody else applied for that too?
We applied here in Broward.
Our disruption wasn't, it has to reach a certain level, 10%. And we were like at 3 or 4.
Yeah, but the point is that they, according to these people, is not revenue related. There's a
second. No, it could be hours. Yeah.
No, not
there's
even
other
hours.
Measurements.
Not even hours. It's just conditions, like binary conditions. Yes, no. Did you change your way, the way you conduct business? Yeah. Yes, no.
I think they're reaching. That sounds like they're reaching. They're being a little too aggressive. Because even our aggressive people that our board forced on us said, well, wait a minute, you know, just because you change, it has to be a meaningful change. And it wasn't meaningful enough to qualify.
Yeah, I didn't think I had qualified for it when I had spoken to a local person. If you have a name, I'd love to have an independent review because, you know, if there is money out there, it would be wasteful not to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Qualified. We definitely looked under every rock because it is big money, but it's not worth.
And Barbara, in your case, it was because of the revenue reduction quarter versus quarter or because of the conditions that you comply with the conditions?
It's conditional. Is how we applied and we were approved. We received 2 quarters worth of payments. And just like Stephen was saying, the higher ones got kicked to a different location. 4 months, though, I can't say I experienced 4 months. I mean, I think it was more like 8 months before we got our checks.
Like I said, we applied in November and in April, I got the first 2 payments.
Yeah, so you did much better.
I got a letter from them and then within a week, I got 2 letters for the third and fourth quarter, an individual letter for each of those. And then about a week later, the 2 checks came. And the good part is they also add interest going back to 2020. Right. So they actually paid me more than I applied for in the amounts because they pay you the tax credit and the interest going back 2.5 years.
Oh, wow.
So it really was. Very nice. Very nice. Unexpected.
Definitely. And Barbara, what company you use to help you with this?
We use a local company, Miami CFO.
Okay. Can you send me that? Because I think that's also interesting if we are neighbors. Maybe we can reapply your learning also.
You use, was it Sutton Frost Carey?
Sutton Frost Carey. Yes.
Who did you have a contact there?
Yes, his name is Drew Hutchison.
Drew.
In the Arlington office.
And these are PPP loans you all took out?
No, this has not. Well, I don't know if it has anything to do with the PPP loan, but it's the ERC credit. It's the employee retention credit.
Yeah. My guess is that you're targeted for all these emails because you got a PPP loan, but I could be wrong.
Oh, I'm sure we were on every list. Yeah. So
I get them daily also.
And not only us, but also they send it to the board and then they ask and again and again and again. And it's like a multiplier
I still get, like I said, I've already filed and I still get, you know, I get a minimum of 10 of them a week.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that tells you how lucrative a deal this is. If they weren't making money, they wouldn't be sending them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you. I have to look at it more too. It's a credit on your taxes, but you don't give it back, right?
No.
No, it's a credit that they give you back on taxes that you paid back in 2020.
Right. Yeah. It's like a reimbursement.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I recorded it too, is I recorded it instead of as income, I recorded it as a credit on our payroll taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Shows up in my salary and benefits line.
Right.
Cool. That's nice.
Awesome. Anything else? Future meetings, maybe indirect cost rate. Would we want somebody to present kind of how to do an indirect cost rate, one of us, or do we want to get someone else to do that? What do you think?
Probably someone who's very familiar with it, different, like the different aspects of it. Like you said, there's different methods that you can apply.
I know Colorado was the one, somewhere in Colorado, I saved the email. Someone had said they were interested in, they were going through it and were interested in maybe that would be a topic. So I could contact them and see if it's something that we want to.
Discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I have so many ideas for all the neck groups, right? 46 neck groups, but CFO.
One thing I thought about.
Got nothing to say. I don't have any ideas. I don't even understand what you guys talk about. And I used to run a JFS. I depended on my CFO like nobody's business.
We could be talking anything. At least it'd be like, oh yeah. I wondered also if we would want to possibly have a session about sort of internal financial statement presentation. Do people do dashboards, do performance indicators, do kind of things that, you know, for internal purposes to the board, program heads, would that be something we'd want to do, share, talk about?
I think that would be interesting. I'm looking to improve, you know, my reporting. I don't use a dashboard at this point, so I'm trying to, you know, get into that for my next fiscal year as far as for reporting to my board.
I would love that, because my finance committee and board loved what our auditors did and asked me to recreate it on an ongoing basis, and then hated everything. It was and it's become this overwhelming topic of discussion that they just pick apart I'm like, it's literally the same ratios but why is that relevant? I'm like, I don't know. It's like, so if there was just something that was more straightforward and I could just eliminate that whole.
Mm-hmm. Right. Sometimes you get to a point where this person on the committee wants to see this report, so you have 5 million reports and it, you know, you can't be getting the point across at that point. You're just explaining what we saw on each.
We spent all this time explaining what it's like, why these ratios are important and which calculation of how to do the ratio. And it's such a distraction from what we really need to be discussing, which is the finances of the agency, whether or not these ratios, which are interesting, but, you know, on an annual basis from our auditor, might be the place where you want to discuss those, not necessarily every month.
Well, maybe we can put something out to the group about who has been doing some of this reporting, you know, to kind of present, because to me, it seems like you don't want to spend your whole life doing those ratios and everything when it's not meaningful. And I know all of us will have possibly different benchmarks, but it might be good to kind of look at some.
So, Lindy, what I wanted to say is that we did that maybe like 2 years ago with this group, but I'm not sure any of you were on that call. Maybe Tammy, you might, I don't know, might have been your first call. Because the only, well, the only reason we can have this group basically is because Carl, who is the CEO of JFS of Houston, had hired Tammy to come on as the CFO. And he said, is there a net group for CFOs? And that's how we started it. I said, no.
Just on the financial statements again, if like one thing that I haven't had time to research enough yet is the proper KPIs and metrics for a human services agency. And I think that we might all share at least some commonalities that, you know, if there's anyone that is doing a dashboard, maybe they could share what benchmarks they're using.
I can share what I very unsuccessfully was showing my finance committee and board. Again, it was based on the report, like the audit summary given to the board and the finance committee at the end of the year during our audited financials, and they loved it. It was, let's see if I can find it.
There was also a presentation at the Dallas conference on key performance indicators.
Really?
Mm-hmm. By one of, and I don't know off the top
of my head. Did you go to it, Lindy?
I did go to it. And so they gave it good? It was good. They gave.
Should I have them, should I ask them to come to this?
That would be good. They're finance, yes. Because that would be a, they presented examples of programs and how they looked at, I mean, your data has to be, you know, decent. But I mean, it was good ways to think about what some of the performance indicators would be and tying that to your strategic plan and those kind of things. And that might be a way to, it wasn't as much financial ratios as, you know, benchmarks for programs. So if you had a program, how many people did this or that, or, you know, I'm not being very.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. We have that, you know, as a United Way agency, we report a lot of program statistics, but my board and my finance committee are hungry for finance metrics and performance measures.
So the thing could be, if we do a little bit of both.
I think that the
JEVS in Philadelphia, I believe. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had a data department.
Yes, so, it was. It was JVS.
How nice.
Yes, their director of research and their director of data science presented it. But I mean, it wasn't so scientific that, you know, we all wouldn't have some of the information. So maybe there's some program components and some financial components in terms of dashboards. And I don't know who presented when we did this last time, Lisa, like a couple years ago when all of us weren't here. But
everyone just brought in their, how they presented to the board.
And, okay.
You know, the forms that they used.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be a good idea because I'm experiencing the same thing as trying to figure out what I can present to the board and enhance maybe what the lady before me did, but it's so time consuming. And when you have so many other competing priorities that it honestly, it just seems like, I hate to say it, like a waste of time. It's like, you know, you spend hours upon hours preparing it and it really isn't that meaningful. Uh-huh. So I'd like to see what everybody else is doing.
Do we want that to be kind of our next topic? I think when we meet in 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People will bring what they present to their boards. Is that what we're saying? And how they present it? Is that what you're suggesting? Just want to make sure.
Yes, and also if we have some people who do, we might want to put a sort of a call out for people who do some dashboard kind of work with their financials, not just the actual financials.
Just one reaction to that. You know, we have different subcommittees. We have the board at large, and then we have the internal relations, the IR subcommittee, and we meet every other month with them, and we share financial statements, numbers, and decisions about investment. And what I'm finding out is that not enough is as bad as too much. because if you give them too much information, for instance, they were used for us to give them all the checks that we were printing every week.
Oh, dear.
And they would come back at me and tell me, why is that we are paying $300 to this? I have an AT&T program at home that they charge only 99 for these many gigabytes, whatever. So if you share too much, then they feel that they have to come back to you with something. So I think that that's important.
We just had a meeting with our board, and one of the topics at the meeting was, who's responsible for what? What is the responsibility of a board member? Because I think a lot of times, in certain instances, the boards really want to run the company, and that's not what it's about. Mm-hmm. So some of our board members had gone to a conference about, and it was put on by Onboard, and it was all about responsibility. What is the board what are the board's responsibilities as oversight, and what are the CEOs and management's responsibility? And having that detailed and everybody understanding that would clear up a lot of this send me your check register kind of thing, because that's not the board's responsibility. The board is responsible for the oversight that you have policies and that you have procedures and you have all these things to properly, record and report, not to tell you how to record and report and who to use. And so, I mean, I think that having that discussion, it can be difficult. I absolutely. And you definitely want to have your executive committee on board first. But then it comes from exec that this is our responsibility and this is management's responsibility. And it becomes very clear at that point.
And we don't give them... ours are summary groups of accounts. I mean, our P&L is one page, so it is not all broken down to the granular level. If somebody has a question, we'll certainly answer it, but it's more to look at sort of the finance committee talks about things in detail, but not to that level either. Mm-hmm. Not even close. So,
so Mark just put in the chat, I guess, your dashboard. Is that what you put in there? So you use a dashboard and it has key performance indicators?
No, it doesn't have that part. I've been thinking about expanding it, but I just know people's eyes usually gloss over whenever they see financials. And our current setup is an Excel document that's 12 pages of information. I think that's too long, but that's what I inherited. But I send that out every single month to the finance committee. The board gets it quarterly. I just adopted this dashboard version, which is the exact same information, has a graph that they look at more than the actual numbers, but it gives the exact same information. And this seems to go over well for the board. I spend more time on this than anything else.
Yeah,
thank you.
I have a dashboard as well. Mine isn't as pretty as that one. But it's got the red.
Pretty is the key, Steve. That's what you say. Pretty is actually all that matters.
mine has green, yellow, and red. So it's got the key indicators and whether we're at target, above target, or below target. And I have a 12-page document, that goes out to the board each month. It's got, a one-page balance sheet and a one-page
statement
and a one-page cash flow, and then behind it, it's got a more detailed income statement that's 4 pages, and then it's got a development report where we're at on our contributions and our development process, and it's got a grants report, and that's about it. And then if they want any more details from that, they're certainly welcome to come visit with me, and I will sit and open up the books for anybody. So,
well, let's. So what KPIs are you currently reporting on?
Let me pull it up just because I don't want to do it from memory.
What did someone ask that no one answered?
What KPIs are we reporting on?
What is why are other people currently doing, successful or otherwise? How far off am I?
I want to do it.
Like I tried to do just basic program expense over total expense, admin and fundraising over total expense, our current ratio, salaries and benefits as a percentage of.
Yeah, I have mine broken down into three sections. The revenue KPIs are unnamed grants, are non-cash in-kind contributions, capital campaign, because we're in a capital campaign right now, general contributions, net resale cash flow. We had a resale shop we no longer have, and then the total revenue. That's for the revenue ones. And then the expense ones is just our service fees and our total expenses. And then on our cash, we have the cash at our bank, our day's cash on hand, and our month operating reserves, our cash reserves. And that's all in a line by line spreadsheet. And then there's a column that's either, you know, celebrate, we're over target, those are green, acceptable, 90 to 100% is yellow, and then red is anything that's below 90% of the target. And then there's a comments section.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lindy, do you think that that's something that we should ask people to bring in, those?
I think so.
Actual documents?
I think so. I think we, I know it'll, maybe we could have people that are doing this a little bit more than those of us that aren't, you know, kind of present what it looks like. So Kristen, what you're doing, what you want to do, maybe not what you're doing that you think is.
I have it up. Do you want me just to share really quick so you can see it?
Well, I think we're almost out of time, and I think this is a good topic, Stephen, for next time. I mean, I think.
Okay.
And I can also ask Colorado to come in, because, you know, you thought that they did something that was great. I can ask them.
Well, they were the indirect cost rate. So
I know that, I think it was San Diego. The lady from San Diego had like
Bernadette.
Really intense one that she showed one time, like 2 years ago. And okay. it was really good. It was the lady, you know who I'm talking about?
Bernadette. Yeah. She's our co-chair. She wasn't here today, but we can ask her to share it again. Because
yeah. I mean, why don't we ask her? Because Marcus, you had yours. I mean, we'll ask for people that are displaying things graphically and have dashboards along with their financials to, obviously, this is a, you know, what happens here stays here. So we won't be sharing any of that information, but we can ask maybe people to, I don't know, is it possible, Lisa, to share some of that right before the meeting so people have a chance to look, and then we can really use our time to look at them and ask questions?
If you send them to me, I can send them out.
So maybe we have, you know, ask for some volunteers to sort of present their stuff. And we do that at our next meeting, which is in, I meant to.
I can tell you. But what does everyone think, that's a good idea? Is that what we should be doing?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Yeah.
Okay, great. So here we are. Sorry about this. CFO, our next meeting is on July 26th.
Okay.
At 12:30.
Great.
Okay. So we're going to ask Marcus, Stephen, Bernadette. I don't know, Kristen, if you want to or not, if you feel confident or not. You don't have to. We can ask someone else.
Anyway, I'm happy to show my failures so that we can know nothing to lose here.
Does anyone else want to share theirs? Before we ask around, anyone on that, you guys get first dibs to.
No, I'm looking for ideas.
Okay. Terrific. So you're okay with it, Stephen and Marcus?
I'll send it to you, Lisa, and then you can forward it out.
Terrific.
Yeah, mine's, I don't mind sharing, mine's an Excel document that I turned into a PDF. So if anybody wants to.
Mine is an Excel document that I turned into a PDF, 12-page PDF.
Right. Wow. So if anybody wants to just take the Excel and mimic it, I mean, I stole it too. So y'all can take it too. That's fine.
This is what I got here. We've adjusted it some, but.
When we plagiarize, we need to plagiarize with the best information, right?
Exactly.
Listen, I know we have to end, but I remember, Marcus, when you first joined, you're like, I don't know, it's a whole new thing. You had to step into someone else's shoes and reinvent everything, as I recollect.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. good for you. And I guess you've done it. Now we're going to reap the benefit.
Exactly. So well, I'm sorry this was a little disjointed, but it was a great discussion. Thank you. And I mean, maybe we set aside a little bit of every meeting to kind of do this, what's bubbling up, because it's hard to, I mean, and I know we've sent out emails. If we send to Lisa, she'll send a request out to the group to answer questions. But sometimes it's just good seeing our faces to sort of talk about whatever is happening.
And I'm going to send the software form out, to applications form out, so you guys can add to it as well.
Awesome.
Later today. Terrific. Have a great day.
Thank you so much.
And I apologize for being late. We tackled the lease thing because I'll look at the recording and see how we went over that. But we went over that earlier.
We went over it briefly, but we only a couple of us have implemented it already. And it sounded like most people, Marcus, had their auditors sort of prepare it almost, except one group was doing it internally. So, but I mean, it was.
Talk to Paul.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk to Paul. Do you have his email? Put it in the.
I do.
Okay. Terrific.
I don't know if you want to talk to me. You can talk to the consultants we're paying money to.
Okay.
Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. I'll be in touch, Lindy.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa. Okay. Bye-bye.